You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up tonight after 8, join us for live coverage of President Obama's farewell address to the nation. That's tonight after 8 here on the Ideas Network.
Right now, today marked the first of several Senate confirmation hearings for President-elect Trump's nominees to key positions throughout his administration.
Republican Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama started things off today looking for confirmation as Attorney General of the United States. And throughout his hearing today, he answered tough questions from his colleagues on issues ranging from abortion to immigration.
And more nominees will face Senate panels throughout the next couple of weeks, including Donald Trump's pick for Secretary of State Rex Tillerson tomorrow. Susan Johnson joins us now for more. She is an associate professor of political science at the UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, the attorney general is in some ways one of the most important positions. The person in that job has a lot of discretion on which kind of laws they prioritize. This is one of the big deals, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree that in terms of prosecutorial discretion, in terms of looking at interaction with law enforcement at state and local levels, in terms of all sorts of different policy areas, the attorney general is one of the most important cabinet positions.
Can you talk a little bit about what we know about Senator Sessions?
Well, he has been in the Senate for about two decades. He's from Alabama. He's quite conservative. He was one of the early supporters of Donald Trump. So if we think back to the summer and fall when many members of the Senate Republican caucus were not as keen on Donald Trump, Sessions was one of those who came forward early and supported him. He's known as a law and order type, going back to his days from when he was a federal prosecutor in Alabama. And he has the distinction of he was nominated for a federal judgeship and was forced to, this is going back 30 years, and was forced to withdraw his nomination as a result of some controversy in regard to his work when he was a U.S. attorney.
And he was, as we heard in the news, interrupted by protesters during the hearing today. What do people see as potentially controversial about him?
Well, it's interesting because the protesters were chanting things like KKK and other things related to, there's things in his history regarding the reason why he withdrew his nomination to be a federal judge back, like I said, a few decades ago, was because of some concerns that were raised, some serious concerns that were raised about his role as not supporting civil rights. Some talk of disparaging remarks he made about the NAACP going back, disparaging remarks he made to individuals, minority individuals who worked in the U.S. Attorney's Office. So at that time, it was quite a big issue. What's interesting to me is that as I look at what happened today in the hearings, while there were those protesters who, when they would raise their voices, were quickly removed from the hearing room, the senators who were questioning him really didn't focus on those issues to the extent that I guess I expected that they were going to.
Well, let's get into some of what they did ask Senator Sessions, their colleague Senator Sessions, about. As you mentioned, Sessions, a longtime supporter of President-elect Trump during the campaign. He was called out during the hearing today by Judiciary Committee Chair, fellow Republican Chuck Grassley, for comments he'd made about then-candidate Hillary Clinton and the scandal surrounding her emails. Here's a little bit of that exchange.
You've been nominated to serve as Attorney General. In light of those comments that you made, some have expressed concern about whether you can approach the Clinton matter impartially in both fact and appearance. How do you plan to address those concerns?
Mr. Chairman, it was a highly contentious campaign. I, like a lot of people, made comments about the issues in that campaign with regard to Secretary Clinton and some of the comments I made. I do believe that that could place my objectivity in question. I've given that thought. I believe the proper thing for me to do would be to recuse myself from any questions involving those kind of investigations that involve Secretary Clinton that were raised during the campaign.
Now, since the election, Donald Trump has backed away, it seems, from the idea of pursuing investigations of Hillary Clinton and the email and the lock her up chants that were common at Donald Trump rallies. What do you think this idea of Attorney General Sessions recusing himself if this does become an investigation?
I think it's very important for listeners to understand that these confirmation hearings and all confirmation hearings, frankly, are there's a bit of political theater that's going on, or that question was asked intentionally so that, I mean, remember, this is a Republican senator who was asking him this question, and it was asked so that Jeff Sessions could say exactly what he said, which was that he would recuse himself, and that was meant to provide assurances to people who might be skeptical of the nomination and then of Senator Sessions that, in fact, he would not engage in that behavior. And, I mean, just to be clear, both sides do this, and so it's an important, I guess it's just an important distinction to make.
Talking about the opening day of confirmation hearings for Donald Trump's appointees, Susan Johnson is with us, political scientist from UW-Whitewater. Let's go back to the questioning. Immigration has been something that people are watching Senator Sessions on, and this is one of those issues that's within sort of the discretionary power of the Attorney General. Where do you focus on the law? Senator Lindsey Graham asked Sessions how he'd approach undocumented immigrants, specifically people who were brought into the country illegally as children. Didn't really answer the question to other senators liking, notably Democrat Dick Durbin of Illinois. Here he is challenging Sessions on immigration.
Senator Sessions, there's not a spot of evidence in your public career to suggest that as Attorney General, you would use the authority of that office to resolve the challenges of our broken immigration system in a fair and humane manner. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, you are wrong, Senator Durbin. I'm going to follow the laws passed by Congress. As a matter of policy, we disagreed on some of those issues. I do believe that if you can continually go through a cycle of amnesty, that you undermine the respect for the law and encourage more illegal immigration into America. I believe the American people spoke clearly in this election. I believe they agreed with my basic view, and I think it's a good view, a decent view, a solid legal view for the United States of America, that we create a lawful system of immigration that allows people to apply to this country. And if they're accepted, they get in. If they're not accepted, they don't get in.
Ending potentially what President Obama had done by executive order, deferring deportation, especially for people who were brought here as kids without authorization. What are you looking for from an Attorney General Sessions with immigration, Susan?
Well, I think that we've seen clearly through the president-elect and through the people that he's nominated, including Senator Sessions, that we are going to potentially see a change in immigration policy. What was interesting when you played that clip to me was the comment that what Senator Sessions said was that he would follow what had been passed by Congress. And then he specifically didn't mention executive order. And clearly, the way executive orders work is that President-elect Trump, when he's the president, can rescind that order immediately upon taking office. Jeff Sessions has been historically quite conservative in regard to immigration, and so nothing he said there really surprised me.
Looking more widely at the various confirmations going on, there are a lot of them this week. Some have been postponed. Education Secretary nominee Betsy DeVos, she's been postponed, originally scheduled to be this week. Democrats are saying too fast and then raising concerns that ethics reports haven't been filled out, various kinds of FBI information not in place. Democrats pointing toward a memo sent by now Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell when President Obama was making his appointments, asking for exactly those things before hearings start. What do you make of that back and forth over background checks and things like that before the hearings start?
Well, I thought that as far as political theater goes, Chuck Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, taking that letter that Mitch McConnell had received and just jotting a few changes. So, dear Mitch versus, you know, dear Harry, I thought that was good because it got people looking at it and paying attention. I think that there's a couple of distinctions in terms of questions that you brought up in terms of whether or not there's just a lot going on and is this different. It's not unusual for there to be hearings kind of stacked up the way they are. And if you, you know, people have gone back and written a lot about this, and, you know, looking back at both the Bush administration and the Clinton administration, I'm sorry, the Obama administration, there were hearings that were scheduled back-to-back like they are right now. The big difference has to do with the submission of the required ethics paperwork, and that's where there's a big difference between prior administrations and their nominees and the nominations that we're currently considering.
Susan Johnson is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. We're looking at Senate confirmation hearings for Donald Trump's cabinet appointees.
And we'd like to hear from you. Do you think that the confirmation hearings should have been postponed as Democrats requested? Are there any nominees that stand out to you, either positively or negatively? And what do you think of the potential incoming administration? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 to join the conversation.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our conversation about the Senate confirmation hearings for President-elect Trump's cabinet nominees. And we'd like to hear from you. Have you been following Senator Jeff Sessions' confirmation hearing today? What do you think so far? What message do you think the Trump nominees are sending? And are there nominees that you strongly support or maybe ones that you're concerned about? And should Democrats put up a fight on any or maybe all nominees or go along with the president-elect's choices? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
Susan Johnson is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. Susan, getting back to the ethics issue, the appointees here, a lot of them very wealthy, big business connections, Exxon, Amway, Air, Goldman Sachs, people with a lot of backgrounds, a lot of complicated financial portfolios and a lot of connections. Is this something that is worth spending more time on up front, do you think, to make sure any ethical issues are sorted out and divested from where they come up?
Well, it's required that this happen, and it's part of the nomination process. And in fact, when I was going through trying to, you know, prep to be on with you this afternoon, I was looking for other instances where this paperwork hadn't been filed. And when you read the official documents, it's just a statement that the paperwork will be filed, and it's actually written that it will be filed before the nomination is formally submitted to the Senate. So, I mean, that's what's unprecedented here, is the fact that we have a situation where this ethics process, which has gone on this way, is not happening in the way that it has historically. And furthermore, I would say that part of the issue is, as you mentioned, how complicated these people are. So we're going to have the wealthiest cabinet ever, and it's very complicated. And so part of the problem that the ethics office is dealing with has to do with the fact that this is very different from a cabinet that would be filled with perhaps more career people who have spent their careers in government or doing other things. This cabinet is very heavy on people who have spent their careers in the business world, and therefore it's much more complicated.
Let's talk about the role of Democrats here. They are the minority party in the Senate, thanks to rules changes passed by Democrats in the previous administration. The filibuster isn't as big an option, but they can slow things down. They can do a lot of, as you mentioned, political theater of their own if they want. How are Democrats going to balance the role between objecting to people slowing things down and not wanting to appear obstructionist?
I think that they're going to pick and choose. Clearly, what we saw today with Jeff Sessions is that the Democrats decided that they were not going to make this particular nomination one of the ones that they were going to focus in on. It was, as confirmation hearings go, pretty congenial. And I think that they're going to look at, and you mentioned Rex Tillerson earlier for Secretary of State, I think his is likely to be much more contentious, with more questions that are more pointed at some of his business dealings. Word came out yesterday that perhaps Exxon Mobil was engaged in business through a subsidiary with countries that were on the state sponsors of terrorism list. So I think there's some things there that they're going to want to go at, but definitely picking and choosing their targets.
Let's stay with Rex Tillerson for a moment. He is one nominee who's at least drawn questions from Republicans in the Senate, John McCain and others, worried about his connections, his past work with Russia, especially given their concerns about Donald Trump's attitude toward Russia. Is this a case where Republicans might be raising as many questions as Democrats?
We're certainly seeing Republicans raise questions, like you said, and particularly in regard to Russia. But I don't know that any of the Republican concerns are going to raise to the point where that nominee is in jeopardy, unless, of course, we see other things come out of the hearings that we haven't learned so far.
It isn't terribly common, looking back now, for nominees to be derailed, is it?
No, not really, particularly in terms of getting to the point where there's a vote and then they're rejected. What we do see from time to time are presidents withdrawing their nominees. So we were talking with the Attorney General before. Bill Clinton, it took him three tries before he got a Attorney General nominee that was able to go through the entire confirmation process. People might recall that in 2008, Barack Obama had nominated Tom Daschle to be Secretary of Health and Human Services, and some ethics issues came up there, and he was forced to withdraw his nomination. So more often than not, what you see, if things come up, are people withdrawing their nomination.
Talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater about the nominee confirmation process. It kicked off today in the Senate with Attorney General nominee Jeff Sessions meeting with his current colleagues. We don't always see sitting senators get a nomination, Susan. Is there sort of a collegiality that might lead to fewer tough questions being asked?
Yeah, absolutely. And what we saw was a lot of the theme from the Republican side tended to be, we know you, you're a good guy, and he kept going back to that as well. So you had this Republican senators referencing that he is one of us, and you had him referencing that he is one of them. And so I would think that definitely, and across the aisle as well, you're going to have more collegiality in the hearings when the person that you're speaking to is someone that you've served with, some of them for two decades, as I mentioned.
Let's bring on a caller now. We've got Josie on the line in Sheboygan. Josie, hi.
Hi. I think that they're going to delay and delay and delay, and they won't hand in those documents that they need to. And then maybe some scandalous things will come out after they're already confirmed. You know, it's just such. I still can't believe that he was elected. I think something terrible is going to happen. It's going to be a huge mess. I heard that he got $900 million or something from Putin, from Russia.
Josie, let's stay with the cabinet confirmation side of things here. And Josie raising the possibility that, okay, these ethics forums don't get in as required. The Senate confirms a nominee anyway, and then something bad comes out, and you've got a seated cabinet official having a potential scandal, Susan.
Well, and honestly, that can always happen where something gets missed in the vetting process. What Mitch McConnell has promised is that there would be no formal votes until all this paperwork is filed. Now, that being said, the fact that there's still some that hasn't been filed and it doesn't give people, the ethics office, much time to go through things, I think is concerning. But I would point to the fact that Republicans have gone ahead and rescheduled some hearings, as you mentioned earlier, in response to all of these concerns. So I feel like the Republicans are listening to the extent that, whereas they were originally going to have these all stacked up this week, they pushed some back to next week, knowing that people want these forms to be submitted.
Thanks for the call, Josie. A non-cabinet appointee is getting some attention this week, someone who doesn't have to be confirmed by the Senate. Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, apparently going to get a senior advisor official position. People are raising a nepotism, anti-nepotism law passed in the late 1960s, apparently partly in response to John F. Kennedy appointing his brother, Robert Kennedy, as U.S. Attorney General some years earlier. Is this going to be a big conflict, do you think?
Well, I think that the outer office to the Oval Office is getting pretty crowded now. We have these various appointments of senior advisors and special advisors, and so his son-in-law is now the latest of those appointments. And you're right, people are raising this issue of whether or not this poses a conflict of interest. Trump says it doesn't. Others say that it does. Somebody could certainly file a suit arguing that, in fact, the law is being violated. But absent that, that can go through. Like you mentioned, it doesn't require Senate confirmation.
We'll leave it there for now. Susan, thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome, Rob.
We've been talking to Susan Johnson. She's an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. She joined us to talk about the Senate confirmation hearings that began today with Attorney General nominee Jeff Sessions of Alabama. You can share your thoughts on that process over at the Central Time Facebook page, and we'll be bringing these issues back up as they move along.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.